Okay, good morning. You comfortable?
Yeah.
Should we begin?
Yeah.
Okay. What I want to do this morning is talk about identity, surprisingly enough. And I want to use the backdrop of the BBC programme, Who Do You Think You Are? To get us to think about it. And I want to use this picture. Hello. Graham, it's not working. Eh? I'm pressing the right button. I want to use this picture to try and explain a little bit more about who we are, about identity. Now, I was going to say most of you will not know where this is, but I bet Paul, Steve and Surinder know where this is, because this is in the middle of Birmingham, and it's near the National Indoor Arena. And National Indoor Arena is a place that my company has used for conferences from time to time. And a few years ago, we went here for a conference on a Friday that was a Friday before a bank holiday weekend. And when we were coming back from the conference, back to the car park, there's all these suits walking along this nice area now. The canal's all cleaned up. There's pubs and restaurants, and the shopping trolleys have been removed. And we were walking past this particular pub, and it's that bank holiday feeling. And there's a load of lads on the balcony drinking away. And as the suits walk past in twos and threes and fours, mostly men, the lads on the balcony did the old football chant of, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" Which was quite funny and slightly intimidating at the time. So what I want to do is ask the same question to you, but in a totally non-intimidating way this morning. And I want to ask you, who are you? Who are you really? Who are you? And to do that, if I do that and pretend to click, to do that, I want you to pretend that you're at a party, okay? And at that party, you go into the kitchen, and you look for you're looking for a drink, and while you're in there, you're eating the crisps and the peanuts and you're nibbling away, and you meet somebody that you've not met before, and you do that thing that you do at a party where you just get chatting and you get to know one another. And have I got a droop on or what? Okay. and as you do that, you start chatting and you get to know this other person. And I want you to really practice this morning. In a moment, I want you to find somebody that you don't know or you don't know very well. And I'm going to give you 5 minutes to pretend that you're at a party. So there's no drink, no crisp, no peanuts. Just pretend you're at a party and get to know them. Now, I want to say two things. Number one, you've only got 5 minutes. Okay, you've only got 5 minutes. Number two, if you don't want to do this, please, you don't have to do it. It's not. I'm not going to force it on you, because I know some people would rather have their teeth pulled than go and talk to strangers. If you want to do it, fine. If you don't want to do it, just sit and chill. Somebody walks towards you, glare at them to keep them away, and just enjoy listening to the conversations of other people around you. But you have 5 minutes to go and find somebody and find out about them. Off you go. Okay, I wonder what you found out there. In general, we tend to probably ask the same sort of questions, your name and where you live and what you do and about your family and that sort of thing. But if you asked me those questions, if you met me in the party at the kitchen, I don't think that's right. If you met me in the kitchen at a party and you started asking me the questions, are those answers helping you to know who I really am? I'm Chris Jones. Great, that's my name. It's important, but that's just my name. I could change my name by deed poll. The person formerly known as Chris Jones. Where do I live? I live in Cookham. Great, but I could move house. I could relocate, so that's just geography. I was born in England, so I'm British, but again, that's just geography. Does that tell you who I really am? What about my family? I have got two wonderful boys, a lovely daughter-in-law, a fantastic, gorgeous wife who never does anything wrong and is sat 10 feet away, and a wonderful, wonderful family. that helps position me. That helps you see maybe where I fit. But is that who I really am? What do you do? That's a big one, isn't it? What do you do? What do you do for a living? And in my case, I sell to corporate businesses and I sell to dodgy, certainly dodgy people. And I sell light commercial vans to slightly dodgy people. But that's just what I do. Is that who I am? Because I could change job at any time, you know. We often ask about hobbies and interests. So all I'm saying is this who we really are? It makes up some of us, but is it who we really are? So let's say we were going to investigate a little bit more about Chris Jones. Who are you? You know, 6'3", 13 stone, plus VAT. And let's say you put me on a operating table and you decided to cut me open and see if you could find out more about me and more in, see what's inside. And let's say you put me, let's say you did that, you've chopped my arm off. Would I still be me if you chopped my arm off? If you chopped my leg off, would I still be me? You know, if I had a heart transplant, a kidney transplant, a lung transplant, a skin transplant, face, people have had face transplants, haven't they? Would I still be me? That suggests, maybe, that it's not a physical thing, then, suggests. You know, I've never seen a dead body, personally. But those people who have seen somebody who's died, who, and they've known the person, they often say this. They often say that it's not them. That it wasn't them. That the person had moved on. It was just a shell. It was, you know, the real, that inner deep person who loves and feels and can communicate had gone. So if it's not this, then what is it? Maybe we could look in the Bible and see what God says. And in the Bible we're told this, that we're made in God's image. Is that helpful? What's God like? Well, we're also told that God is spirit. Okay? So if we're made in God's image and God is spirit, therefore, we are spirit. Told you she was gorgeous, smart as well. and she's seen this before. So we are spirit. That part of us, the real part of us, is spirit. And I'm deliberately using that word of spirit, partly because the Bible says it, and partly because I'm not using the word spiritual. Because people, if I use the word spiritual, you could think of it as, some, you know, you think of somebody as, well, they're musical, they're sporty, they're arty, they're spiritual. It's something about their character. It's something that is a preference for them. Now, what I'm saying is, we are told that the real us is spirit. That's in essence who we are. And if there's one thing I want you to get this morning, it's this. I actually want you to get two things this morning, but this is the first thing. I want you to get the fact that the real us is spirit. Okay? So, those of you who've seen the program, Who Do You Think You Are? You don't have to see that. You don't have to read that. I don't expect you to be able to read that. It's not an eye test. A, D, F. It's just an example of some of the people, John Simpson and Gary Lineker and Una Stubbs and Sarah Millican, who've all gone through the BBC program, Who Do You Think You Are? And they've looked into their background. And interestingly, it affects them. Their background affects them, even though these people who they're looking into are people that they've never met before, they've never talked to them, they didn't even know they existed till they'd gone through the program, they didn't know their names. It has an effect on them. They all have a heritage, and that heritage, that background, seriously affects them. So if that is true physically, maybe we could look at what our spiritual background is. If it's true that we are made in God's image and God is spirit, and if it's true that we are spirits, maybe we could look at our spiritual heritage. And our spiritual heritage, we are told, started here. It started here with somebody who created a place for us to live and created us and thinks we're amazing. And it's really difficult to understand that story from where we are today. It's difficult to actually picture what it's like to be in relationship, a man and woman in harmony with nature, with the world, with knowing where they fitted with God. They were absolutely ecstatic because they knew that God thought they were amazing. They used to walk around the garden in the evening chatting to God about the plants they'd done, or Eve saying, oh, I'm going to put a little border in here, and Adam saying, I'm going to have a little waterfall there, and all that sort of thing. And they knew exactly where they were, if this story is true, of course. And of course, Michael Gove might have another opinion of that, but you've got to decide on that. And they were provided for, not only physically, no need of clothes, woohoo, that saves some money, and although they had no money, food and drink and warmth and shelter and each other and that relationship, everything was there, and they were at peace. They were at rest. They worked hard, but they were at peace and at rest. And it was everything in the garden was lovely. However, if you know the story, you know that everything in the garden wasn't lovely a little while later, because they did what they'd been asked not to do, which was you can eat anything from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. The tree, it's the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do that, you will surely die. Interestingly, they didn't die, not straight away. They died, so we're told, hundreds of years later. But what happened was they were instantly, that relationship, instantly everything that was there was cut off. And instantly they were out of the garden, they were rejected, and they felt emotions that they never, ever felt before. Guilt and fear and shame. And Adam said to God, and God said, where are you, Adam? And Adam said, I hid. And why did you hide? Because I was afraid. And before, those emotions had never existed. That situation. And you know what it's like when you break a relationship. You know what it's like. You walk into a room and you know where they are. You know where that other person is when you've broken a relationship. You can feel it when they're 100 yards away. And your mind becomes consumed by that big argument. Breaking relationship is horrible, and that's part of our spiritual heritage. That was the spiritual death that happened. They did die physically as well, but that was the spiritual death that happened, which is why Jesus says you need to be born again. He's talking about your spirit, clearly. He's talking to somebody who's alive when he says you must be born again. He's talking about your spirit. Okay, so that's our heritage. So what do we do? I think, and this is Chris Jones's, you know, you can argue with me. I'm quite happy to be argued with. This is just my thoughts. It's not actually, I copied it out of a book, but I think that our spiritual heritage means that we're always trying to get back to that place. We're always trying to get back to Eden, to that place of relationship with God and provision and purpose and peace, and where we know that our significance, we know our acceptance with God. But what we do is, subconsciously, we try to get there by other means. And the other means, we've talked about some of them this morning, is we look at education. We must have the right, you know, we must go to the right school, get the right degree. We must have money. We must have more money. Oh, if only I had a better house, and only if we could move over there, and if only I'd... If only, and we're constantly trying to create that thing. Not, you don't subconsciously think, I'm going back to Eden, I'm going to get a good job. It's just, I'm saying it's in our heritage, and we're driven, and in our culture, we are driven massively on this one. There are other things we try to do. We haven't got time to go into them. And one of them is trying to be a good Christian. That's another one, but... We try massively to get back to here, and we are driven in Western culture because, by definition, if we live in a capitalist consumerist society, we have to consume. So we are every day we are bombarded. Thank you very much. Yeah. Every day we see a lot of adverts, and about 5,000 a day. Estimates vary, it could be up to 20,000, but 5,000 a day, every day, every day, every day. Money, house, education, something better, something bigger, something faster, something cheaper, something. Every day, 5,000 every day. That's what's hitting us all the time, which is about $1 million a year-ish. Jonathan knows my maths is terrible, but there is nothing telling us, actually, that's not where we find our identity. We're being told, you know, if you have this, oh, you'll be bigger, better. You know, if only I had a facelift. If only I had Botox. If only I looked like Jonathan really looks under that T-shirt. You know, whoa, steady. So if that's not the answer, what is the answer? And like all good Sunday school questions, Sunday school answers, maybe the answer begins with J and ends in S. Maybe. And why do I think that? Well, Jesus said some things which can't be ignored. One of the things he said was this. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, in John 10:10. And there he was talking about, he'd been talking about the sheep. He said, the sheep know my voice, they follow me, I'm the good shepherd. If somebody else comes in, they're a thief. And in fact, when the sheep don't recognize the voice, they actually run in the opposite direction. You can read it in John 10. But he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I have come that they, my sheep, you who are amazing, may have life. So I'm suggesting that the way back to provision and purpose and peace and the way back to that relationship with God has something to do with Jesus. I'm only suggesting. Wouldn't dare tell you. He also said this. He said, I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So again, suggesting that it's not a physical thing. It is a spirit thing. And he was saying this in relation to, he had three friends, he had lots of friends, but he had three specific friends, special friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you can read this in John chapter 11. And Jesus was a few miles away when he hears that his best friend, Lazarus, had died. But he didn't go there for 3 or 4 days. And when he eventually goes to the house, Mary comes out to meet him, said, if only you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And then when he gets to the house, Martha says the same thing. If only you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And he said, don't worry, he'll rise again. And Martha says, yeah, I know he'll rise again. He'll rise again at the resurrection. And Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And then he goes in and goes to the tomb and raises Lazarus from the dead. And loads of Jews who've been to the house to visit Mary and Martha to help mourn with them, they believed in Jesus at that time because he'd done that. And that is the second thing I'd like you to understand, to grasp today, is that the way we find life is through Jesus, through either John 10:10 or John 11:25. Jesus said lots of other things in John. But really, that is it. That's to summarize that we are made in God's image and we are spirit and you are meant to have life. Now, that's what I've said is pretty quick this morning, partly because there's a man at the back who gave me 25 minutes. And this is part one of three. But I hope that you get that. I hope that this morning, or at least it makes you think, at least it makes you think a little bit more about what life's about and where you get life from. And to reiterate it, Jesus said it lots of other times. If you've got a fancy phone and you download a Bible app and you type in life and search in the New Testament, it'll pull up loads of lives. Most of them are in John. And Jesus said these things, or Jesus was referred to in some of these things. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life, etc., etc. So, I want to leave you with that this morning. And I say, what next? Well, you can do one of three things. You could go home and read John 10 and 11 and see what you think. You could, if you want these verses about life, you could email me at my email address. Now, if you remember what you discovered about me at the party, my name's Chris and I live in Cookham. And my email address is chris@cookham.com. It's easy enough. So if you want those Bible verses on life, please email me and I'll just email them back to you. And what I suggest that you do is you just take one of those and you learn it off by heart. You learn it off by heart and you just chew on that for at least a month, if not more. I've been learning some verses this year, and one of them is just really simple. It's, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Which comes from Psalms. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And that, I just find that really helpful. It's in my bones. It's there. Maybe you could do that. The other thing you can do is get ready for the next part of identity. We've only skimmed the top this morning, but the next one is in 2 weeks' time, I think, with Ruth. Is that right? Yeah. And lastly, if you think, yeah, I want some of that. I want life. I want to be in that purpose of provision and peace with a purpose. I just want to get, yeah, I want that. Whether you've been around God for years or you know, today's one of the first days you've touched where God is, then I'd like you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray a little prayer. I'm going to say it one sentence at a time. And I'm not asking you to say it out loud. You can say it in your mind. But just to help say, yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. So if you'd like to say this prayer with me, please do. Lord God, thank you that you think I'm amazing. I want that life that you speak of. Holy Spirit, please rest on me and cause that living water to well up. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I think what that means is that you're now class dismissed. However, if you'd like some prayer, we will have a little prayer team. Ooh, we'll have a little prayer team standing over here by the screen. If you want to come and chat to me and say that was the biggest load of rubbish I've ever heard, I'm very happy because I'll just glaze over and smile. Seriously. If you want to chat, very happy to chat. And I'll hand back to a man who is brave enough to call himself my friend.